Hey, thanks for listening to the Harvest Time podcast. We hope today's message helps you know God in a real and powerful way.
Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you here today. I got to meet some brand new folks visiting us from Texas, and man, when Texas people come to see me, I just get so excited. I'm glad y'all are here. Thanks for coming to see us from Texas. Listen, I'm excited to be home. I was out last week, and Carrie, she was teaching in South America, in Peru, and having a great time down there teaching people, and y'all, she's a teacher. She can teach the word, and so I'm just so proud of her for doing that. And while she was gone, my boys felt sorry for me, so they took me to St. Louis to watch a couple of miserable St. Louis Cardinal games. We lost both games, and the hot dogs were terrible and overpriced, but we was together, and we were having fun. So the boys were together while Carrie was down teaching the word of God. And man, it's just good to be home, and I'm ready for the word today. How many of y'all ready for the word? Romans chapter 12. Just go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 3. We'll read 3, 4, and 5 together here in just a second. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Lord, thank you, Father, for your presence here. Lord, thank you, Father, we can come into this place. We can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I just say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. Lord, Father, we're grateful, Lord, that we get to come into this place to hear your word. Lord, challenge us today, I pray, with your word. I pray, Lord, that we'll be changed. I pray, Lord, that we'll do things the way you want us to do them. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity that I get to stand in this sacred spot. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Here we go. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. How many of y'all know you have a measure of faith? All right, for the rest of you, you do have a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, there's many of us here gathered together today, we're many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, there's many of us here, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are not designed to walk alone. We are not designed to try to go through life alone. When I was a kid, there was a show. If you're under 50, you won't know anything about this. But The Lone Ranger comes to mind. If you know The Lone Ranger, then if you're laughing, then you're over 50. We're not meant to be spiritual lone rangers. In fact, we are made to walk in community. Thank you for all the amens. One amen. Thank you, Doug. God bless your heart. Y'all, what do we do on July the 4th?
Fireworks.
What do we set off fireworks. What are we celebrating? Freedom. What happened? We got one history buff right here on the front row. The reason why we set off the fireworks is for our independence. Y'all, embedded in our culture, embedded in the fabric of every red-blooded American is the want to and the desire to be independent. In fact, we live in a generation that says, well, we're going to just pull up our bootstraps, do this on our own, right? This is where we live. This is the culture in which we live today. But let me tell you that the day, a real Independence Day, is the day your children come off your phone plan. Yeah, we got some empty nesters right over here. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, y'all, it is a real Independence Day. Dexter, you know what I'm talking about. When you stop paying for your kids' car insurance. Now, that's a good Independence Day right there. When your kids become independent enough that they can pay for their own phone plan, that we should set fireworks off for that. Now, that's a good day. In fact, y'all, let me tell you something. Empty nesting's awesome. Carrie and I are having a great time. This is awesome. There is something to be said, though, for your children being able to stand on their own, or financially not dependent upon you as a parent any longer, and that day should come. Listen, when they're 4, 5, and 6 years old, you need to be preparing them. You need to have some expectations on them. Pastor, I didn't know he was going to have a family service. Well, I didn't either, but I just feel like meddling a little bit. You need to be preparing them. You need to have expectations for them. They've got to have some consequences here and there, so they'll learn how to live and how to do life on their own. You should be preparing them right now. Now, I know I didn't get a lot of amens right there, but I'm just telling you the truth. Now, there's something to be said about being relationally independent. You know, in other words, I don't need anybody. I got this. I got this. But I'm just going to tell you that that's not biblical. We're not designed to walk alone. We're not designed to do life by ourselves. We're designed to live dependent upon God. You can't do. Every breath you get comes from the Lord. It is a gift of the Lord that you are able to breathe. You are dependent upon the Lord. And I don't know if you know this, but we are interdependent upon one another. We are in Christ. Is there anybody here, you're in Christ? Okay, we got several people in Christ. I'll give you another opportunity in a minute. But our culture, we push back against this. We push back against God. We push back against God's word. In fact, I can prove this. The church just fights for every minute that we can get. We fight for every weekend that you show up, because there's so many distractions and there's so many things that gets placed a priority on top of church, on top of the Lord. In fact, I'm telling you right now, if I was able to look at your Bible reading plan and how much time you spend in God's word, how many of y'all know you know you can read the Bible. If you read it every day for 15 minutes, you can read all the way through. You know that? It's probably the first time you've ever heard that. But listen, there's distractions. You'll have the phone in your hand and you'll do this for a long time, but you won't read the word. There's distractions going on, and we're being distracted. The culture we live in is trying to distract you away from your relationship with God. And what happens is we say, well, I can do this on my own. I got this. Well, I want to tell you what happens to me every morning when I get up. I wake up and I say, God, I need you today. I can't do this without you. Lord, I need your presence. I need your voice. I need your guidance. Lord, I can't do this without you. I am 100% completely dependent upon you. There's some people going to ask me some questions today. There's some people, they're going to have some hard things. They're going to bring them to me today. And Lord, I can't do this apart from your presence. I need you, Lord. That's how we should be living, rather than, oh, I got this. You see, we're dependent upon the Lord. We're interdependent upon one another. And a healthy relationship, a relationship with God that brings satisfaction, a healthy relationship that brings God glory, is fruitful and fulfilled, is a life that's dependent upon God and interdependent upon other people, God's people. So I know that I only have about 21 minutes with you. Because Carrie tells me, she says, they don't listen after 21 minutes. You just need to stop at 21 minutes. You see, I'm fighting for every moment, because the enemy wants to distract you, wants to keep you from God's word. And I'm just going to bring you, I'm going to shut it down at 21 minutes. Because y'all, I'm telling you, the Lord wants you to hear something today from his word, his principle. Look at this. Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we, anybody in Christ here today? Is there anybody in Christ here today? All right. If you're in Christ, now I want you to watch this. So in Christ, we, though there's many here, though there's many of us, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. That's the NIV. Listen to it in the New King James. Listen to this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. You just said you're in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, when you look at this phrase, one another, when you look this up in Strong's, it's in the Greek, it's 240. It was one another. Listen to what one another means. Listen to this. It means reciprocally, or it means mutually. In other words, we have reciprocal relationship, Travis. We're mutually designed that I'm leaning on you, you're leaning on me. We have relationship, William. This is the way this works. You follow me? This is a reciprocation, Donnie. We're together, we're individuals, but we're both in Christ, part of the body of Christ, and we're interdependent upon one another. Each member belongs to all the others. We belong, if you are in Christ, anybody in Christ? Okay, you haven't gone anywhere. At first, you're much better than that first crowd. That first crowd, they has already checked out. They didn't even give me 21 minutes. If you're in Christ, then you belong to one another. And I want to make a statement here. I want you to write this down. This is where every week I'm going to bring something to you. I'm going to say, you need to write this down. Don't forget this. This is one of my biggies for this service. We cannot fulfill our purpose without one another. We cannot fulfill our purpose without one another. I need you to fulfill the purpose and the plans that God has for me. I need you. And you need me to fulfill the plans. Did you know that God has a plan for you? And the way you are fulfilled is by having relationship with Christ and with one another. So, and y'all, this is countercultural. I know this is countercultural because we want to do things our way. Listen, please, if you have written down at your funeral that we're supposed to play Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way, please, that's a terrible song. You don't do it your way, do it God's way. Okay, but what we try to do is we try to do it our way. We try to walk alone and say, I got this, I can do this. No, you cannot. You cannot do it alone. So here's what I want you to write down. I want you to write these things down right here. Number one, I need others to walk with me. I need you. I need others to walk with me. Look what Colossians 2:6 says. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, I've received Christ Jesus. Have you received Christ Jesus? Okay, so this is who this is talking to. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now it's okay to walk in him, right? We're all okay with walking in Christ, with being in Christ. That's the easy part. But as we walk in Christ, Romans 12 says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So this is tricky. We want to walk with God, but we don't want to walk with others. This relationship in Christ, this relationship with God, it is described as a walk, your Christian walk. How many of you ever heard your Christian walk, your Christian journey, this walk that we're on? This is a walk. My spiritual life is in Christ. I'm dependent upon God, and it's called this walk or this journey that we have, and our walk cannot be alone. It should not be alone. We're dependent upon God. We're dependent on Christ and interdependent upon one another. Now, how many times have you heard somebody say, now, Pastor, my walk, my journey, my relationship with the Lord is private. It's private. Now, yes, your relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus is personal. That's partially correct. But here's where you get it wrong. When you can't talk about your relationship with Christ, or you don't want to talk about it, it's private just to you. And I find that almost, because in the New Testament, it's just, you don't see that in the New Testament. The New Testament says in Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. A light that does not shine. We're shining our light so the world cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So how can we shine a light without shining? We must be shining in this world. And I think in this culture especially, it's you know, we live on these things, and we, you know, let's, all right, let me take a picture of the food. See what I'm eating? See where we are? I did a thing. We live on these, and we show the world our whole life, but then yet our walk with the Lord is private. Oh, I can already tell. We might as well go home. Y'all aren't with me. No, you're with me, because I just struck a chord, and I know. I know that what I just said, it just connected with your spirit. You know exactly where I'm going with this. See, our walk with Christ, it is not private. And our walk with others, it can't be private. We've got to invite some people into our world and so that they can walk with me. And I would tell you this, I'm the same guy at the lake on my boat that I am right here. I'm the same guy playing in my jazz band. You got a jazz band, Pastor? I got a jazz band. I'm the same guy in my jazz band that I am right here. Well, I don't know if I approve of you in a jazz band. Well, I'm sorry. Just get over it. I got a jazz band. So listen, you play in a jazz. Yes, I do. I'm the same guy wherever I play that I am right here. I'm the same guy on vacation. I'm the same guy at the St. Louis ballpark. No, I did not get too upset. Lord have to help me there. You see, you can be the same person and let your light shine no matter where you are. And that's the way God designed us to work and designed us to be. You can be the same person at work than you are on Sunday morning. Did you know that? That's the way this thing's designed to work. The reality is, we're connected to thousands of people on a device, but yet we're the loneliest culture, the loneliest people in all of creation. And the antidote to loneliness is community. If you are in Christ, you are supposed to be walking in community with other believers, because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ, and we're walking our walk together. I think it's awesome, Dexter, that I can look at you and say, we've been walking together for a long time. Why? Because we care for one another, and we're in Christ, and we understand this. That guy, he taught me almost everything I know about the trumpet. See, we walking together a long time, but we're walking in Christ, doing this journey together. Now, you say, Pastor, you know, I've been with you up to this point, but now I know what you're going to do. You're going to try, it's group season, and you're going to try to get us in a group. Yeah, that's where I'm heading. That's where I'm heading right there. I'm expecting you to get in a group. You say, I've been with you all this time, but Pastor, people make me nervous. There's some validity there, okay? You say, Pastor, I was in a group once, and there was a bunch of weird people in that group. Or you say, Pastor, I was in a church, I was in a group, and I got hurt. There's no hurt like church hurt. And I'll just pause right now. If you've been hurt, if I've offended you, if I have hurt you, please come talk to me. Matthew 18 is so clear, we can work this out. If I've hurt you, if I've let you down, if somebody else in this church, listen, if somebody's let you down, go to them. Talk about it in the right way, in the right manner. That's the way we work through things. That's what you do in families. We're a family. And we're going to walk together. The way we walk together is with open hands, talking to each other the right ways. If you've been hurt, I'll validate that. If you've been hurt, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. And there's some validity there. But let me also say, if you've been hurt, you're not designed to be alone. I'm going to show you why we're not designed to be alone. Even Jesus walked with some people. Okay? Are you better than Jesus? No, we're not better than Jesus. Okay, so we're going to get in a group. That's what we're going to do. All right, now I'm going to give you reasons right now. Here's some reasons. Reasons we need each other. It provides safety. When you walk with other people, it provides safety. About 25 or 30 years ago, I was in Mexico in a city called Comitán. And there was several pastors and preachers that was there, and we had spoken and we had preached, and then that night we went out because they was having this celebration. And they shot off fireworks, and there was a band playing, and there was a stage, and I mean, it was really cool. And so we were just four guys, and we did not look like everyone else. We did stand out in the crowd. And this is way down South Mexico, way down near Guatemala. And so we're down South Mexico, and I've got a little video camera, and I'm recording the events because it's neat, and I wanted to bring it home, show Carrie, this is what happened, this is what we did, this is really cool. And it was fun, it was festive. Well, there was somebody there with me. His name was Ted Flynn, and Ted had been there many times. And Ted said, listen, guys, he gathered up. These four gringos got together really quick. We got together really quick. He said, hey, listen to me. I need you to listen to me right now. Listen to me. There's some guys right now, and they're looking at us, and I think they want Darren's camera. And so I need you to listen to me. Look at me right now. Nobody left behind, but we are about to walk, and we're about to run back to the hotel because I'm telling you, these guys, they are up to no good. And so he said, are you ready? No one left behind. Let's go. We're all going together. Here we go. And so we hightailed it. Y'all know hightailed? We hightailed it back to the hotel. We weren't scared, so to speak, but being together provided safety. When you walk with other people, they see things you don't see. Because I was just the happy moron. I was like, ain't this fun? Look at that. Did you see this? That was me. There was somebody there more experienced than me that had been there before that felt like that they was kind of in charge, and he was. And he saw something I didn't see. There's safety in walking with other people. Now there's another, you write that down. There's safety. Here's another thing you write down. You write this down. If you don't write this down, you probably forget it. This is good. This is one of the best things I ever thought about. So supportive. There's support when you walk with other people. It's supportive. In fact, there's a marathon or a half marathon happening today in Fort Smith, I think. And on November 4th, I believe there's a FCA is going to do like a full marathon. But if you've ever run, are there any runners in the house? You run 5Ks, 10Ks? Not one. Okay. Anybody else? We got two runners in the whole house, y'all. All right. When you run with other people, there's this thing called, and I've done this before, there's this thing called the wall. And you hit the wall. And if you're by yourself, you will probably stop. But if you're running with some other people, here's what they do. They support you. Paul, is this not true? You rode a bike yesterday in some kind of a crazy marathon of some sort. And so if you're tired and you hit this wall, this is what happened. They say, no, you can do it. Keep running, you got this, you got this, keep running. And all of a sudden, you get past that wall and you keep going. When you're walking or when you're running with some other people, it's supportive. It's not just safety. It brings you support and encouragement. And that's good for somebody to hear today. You say, well, I've been doing this all, me and God, we got our own thing going. Well, sometimes, let me say something. There's going to be a time and you're going to need somebody that's walking and running with you. You might be fine right now, but just keep living. There's valleys in this life that you're going to need some people to come along beside you and lift you up and help you and encourage you along the way. Amen? You're going to draw some strength and support. So three reasons to walk with others: safety or support, and it's smarter to work to walk with other people. Proverbs 28:26 says, only fools would trust what they alone think. Look at that. Only fools would trust what they alone think. We need other people walking with us. We need to be walking with the Lord, yes. We need to be in Christ. We need to be walking with the Lord, and we need to be walking with others. Because walking with others is a sign of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. Did you know that I've got a group of overseers that watch over me? I've got a board of elders and that we meet together. They're good at things that I'm not good at. And there's safety and there's counsel when you come together. There's wonderful support that comes together, and it's smart because what happens is you're not out there alone. I've got some trusted friends that they walk with me. Our text thread sometimes gets goofy and silly, but sometimes it gets really, really, well, let's just say they'll say, hey, how are you doing? I'm praying for you. And it can get serious at times. We need others walking with us, and it's smart to walk with others because others will bring you perspective that you can't see. They'll bring you strength that you did not have. They'll bring you encouragement right at the right time. There'll be safety. I'm better and I'm smarter because I've got people that I'm walking with. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Did you know that it is riskier to walk alone? You say, Pastor, I was too hurt. Listen, it's riskier to be by yourself. My dad says, it's the banana that gets separated from the bunch that gets peeled. He's been saying that my whole life. There's a lot of things he's been saying my whole life. I could say that one. Relationships require some give and take. Every now and then we'll be going through an airport and Carrie, she'll say, hey, mister, slow that UPS walk down. My strides are longer than her strides. And I have to slow down. Sometimes, I guess the people there, they're shaking their head. Sometimes there's some give and take. You might have to slow down. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're walking with other people, it's worth it. Because I don't want to walk alone from you. I want to get to the gate at the same time. It's just more fun doing life together. So Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. We're meeting together today. Thank you for being here today. It's a celebration, Mark. I'm happy we're here. Praise God we're here. It's a celebration. Don't give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. Since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near, make a habit of coming together. This is a celebration today. I hope you felt encouraged. I hope that just singing with other believers and hearing other believers singing, I hope that that just brought you some strength and put some gas in your tank. But there's power and encouragement in just hearing other people sing. I exalt you, Lord. Oh, we exalt you, Lord Jesus. You know, there's something about singing three-part harmony. It just brings a group together, right? But it's impossible to have a relationship. Paul, it's your first Sunday here. Welcome to Harvest Time. But it's hard for you to know everybody. Even if you was here for 20 years, it would be impossible for you to know everybody here. You can't walk with this many people. But I tell you what you can do. You can walk with a small group right there. That's what you've been doing. You have a relationship right there. You're walking with these folks. That's a good thing. You can walk with 6 or 8 or maybe 10. Jesus had 12. See, we need the group. This is why we need groups. And when you're in a healthy group, what happens is if you get hospitalized, if somebody passes away, you're going to have some people that are going to come around you. You're going to have some casseroles. You're going to have some people come around you, and they're going to call you. They're going to bring you. Danielle's going to bring you something. Nina's going to bring you something. My wife was hospitalized just a few weeks ago, as y'all know. I told you that. And more, my goodness, I had people bringing food. That was awesome. Y'all was showing how you love. That's what happens when you're in a small group. There are people, they just want to encourage you by coming by, calling you up and saying, hey, I care about you. That's what happens. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 14 says, and this is given instruction. Paul's given some instruction here. This is like group instruction. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 14. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Now, how many of y'all know today, that'd be hard if everybody had a scripture to share, if everybody had a song to sing, this is a big group. Okay? And in the New Testament, you see big groups. They're gathered on the southern steps. They're gathered at Solomon's portico. There's hundreds and sometimes even thousands of people meeting all in one spot. And it would be hard for them to do that. But if you look at verse 30, it says, take your turn, no one person taking over. That's good small group guidelines right there. That not one person takes it. If you've ever been in a group like that. Verse 31, and then you all learn from each other. Paul is writing some very practical things for some small groups. This is very practical writing right here. And when you see in the New Testament and the teaching there, you see this. You see from house to house, you see these small groups, and then you see these large groups gathering as well. I don't have time to talk about all that, but here's what I got. I got just a couple minutes to go, and I need you to write this. This is point number two. I got 3 points because I always do. Here we go, 3 points. Second point is, I need people to work with me. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You was created with a plan and a purpose in mind by God. And you need me or other people to unlock that destiny, to unlock those purposes that God has for you. Because what we can't do is we can't fulfill our assignment without one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. We all need each other. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all need each other. I need others to walk with me. I need others to work with me. And here's the third point. I need others to watch out for me. I need others to watch out for me. Why? Philippians tells us in Philippians 2, it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for also the interests of others. I need people who will protect me. I need people who will watch out for me. I need people who will come alongside me and they'll challenge me. I need people to stand up for me. I need people who will warn me. I need people that will bring things to me that I possibly don't know or I can't see. And you do too. How many of y'all need somebody to stand up for you sometimes? You need somebody to warn you sometimes. If you've got a group of people together that you've been walking with them and you're developing trust, you've been walking, striding with them, not one getting out too far, in other words, there's some give and take. If you've been doing this with some people, you can trust them. Carrie and I, we moved about 3 years ago. We had a house that was tri-level. It had stairs just to get to stairs. And we raised our kids in that house in almost 20 years, and we moved to this neighborhood that there's no stairs, praise God. There's not even, you barely have to step up over a threshold. And that's what we was looking for. That's probably why we can't run those marathons anymore. Our knees are just shot. But I said that to say this. We didn't know when we moved into that house that we was going to be getting world-class neighbors next door to us. We had no idea. Amazing. Jerry and Laurie are amazing. If we go out of town, we call Laurie and we just say, Laurie, listen, we're going out of town, and she's got the code to our front door. That's how good friends we are. They got our back. They come over to feed Carrie's fish, water her plants. Jerry sometimes gets out there and mows my yard before I get home. Y'all, that's doing life with somebody. You can trust somebody that's going to do that. So I do my best to get out there and try to mow his yard before he mows my yard. That I'm telling you, it is amazing to have neighbors that are like that. But we'll call them on the phone and we'll say, hey, listen, we're going to Peru next week, and you know, we need you to come feed the fish and water the plants. But they're watching our stuff. They watch out for us. So much so that one time Evan came over to our house and it was a new truck, and they didn't know Evan. They're calling us, hey, there's somebody in your driveway. They're watching out for our stuff. How many of y'all live in a neighborhood where there's a neighborhood watch? You got the sign there. Is there somebody actually watching? It's a good thing to call on a neighbor to say, hey, we're going to be out of town. Anybody else do that, or is it just us? Y'all do that, right? That's a good thing because they're watching out for your stuff. But I've got a question for you. Is there anybody watching out for your soul? We have people watch our stuff, but we don't want to walk with anybody that could possibly protect us, bring safety or encouragement, because it's just too cumbersome. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day where you're going to need that. You're going to need somebody to come along beside you, and that's what groups are all about. This whole body of Christ thing of us look, I'm not trying to manipulate you into something to do something you don't want to do. I'm trying to show you the Word of God. I'm just laying it out there so that you can walk the way that God wants you to walk, and that's with each other. There was,
years ago, Carrie and I, we had jet skis. And man, we used to pull that jet ski up out here in the parking lot on church day. We'd change in the bathroom and go get in the truck and run down to Callington Point and ride jet skis. And there was one day we was driving down Spiro. What is that? There's like a four corner thing there. What do you call that? Sunset Corner. Yep. We was running through Sunset Corner right there. And we had just got back rolling again, and we were headed to Callington Point. And there's a dude, man, he just come up beside me on that highway, and he was like, "Hey!" And he's like pointing back there, "Hey!" You know, like this, and then roll the window, and "Hey!" You know, and, you know, it wasn't four lanes. This guy is over here passing me, but not passing me, yelling at me, "Hey," pointing back there. And I knew something had happened. I didn't know what it was. So I pulled my truck over, jet skis back there. And here's what we did, though. We would strap the 5-gallon gasoline thing. We would strap that to the back of the jet ski. Well, apparently the gas fell off the truck or fell off the jet ski. I didn't know it. And what he was doing was he was saying, "Hey, you dropped your gas can. You're going to need that." And there's some people in the room today. You need some people in your life that says, "Hey, William, where you been? Hey, Sloan, I haven't seen you in a while. You okay? Hey, Doug, how's it going? How's your girl? Y'all doing okay? How's Linda?" You need some people to go, "Hey, Deshauna, how's Corbin?" You need somebody that cares about you enough that if they see that you're missing, they see that your life sees something that's wrong. "Hey, Beasleys, it's good to see you. Where y'all been? Hey." I'm waiting on somebody to say, "Hey, Pastor. Hey, I need somebody to, hey, pastor me on occasion." You realize I got problems too. I got needs. I need somebody to warn me if the gas can falls off your jet ski. When you get over there to Callington Point, you're going to need that 5 gallons. There's no marina there. You understand what I'm saying? We got people watching out for our stuff. My question is, do you have people watching over your soul? Amen.
Thanks again for listening today. If you want to know more about our church, find us on social media or visit harvesttime.net. See you next time.